Well, have you guys been with us here in the weeks past as we've been talking through thriving relationships? Yes, five or six of you. That's good. If you haven't, tonight is just going to be just as amazing, if not more amazing, than what has been going on. And so tonight we have flown in guests from Rogersville, from Nixa, from Sparta, I think, which, you know, I mean, Rogersville and Sparta, that's a drive. So anyway, but we have just brought in these people. They're amazing people that you've probably already know who they are. But we're just going to have a question and answer panel for tonight. And so I believe they're going to put up that slide for you to text in some questions. This is going to be the night for you guys to get out your phones and text in some questions for our panel to answer. But would you welcome Josh and Christy Thompson, Jake and Melissa Smith, and then Vicky and Wes Melton. Yes. All right. I'm going to give you guys a microphone. Is that okay? There's a microphone behind you, too. Grab that. Well, panel. This is awesome. So much just good-looking people up here. So many good-looking people. Tonight we are talking about family. Specifically, we're talking about raising kiddos, raising children, raising future giant killers, raising just amazing people. And you guys all have a different level of experience, and you are along the journey at different levels as well. And so why don't you guys take a minute and start out, just give me a little bit of a description of your family, how many kids you have, how old are they, what school do they go to, and just anything else. Do you guys want to start? Thompson crew? You guys are next to me, so I'm probably going to pick on you first.
Sure.
Yeah.
Tess, am I on? No. Yes.
You're on.
There we go. Well, I'm Christy Thompson. This is Josh Thompson. And our family consists of me and him. And I just thought I'd introduce you. Three girls. We have a 14, 11, and a 7-year-old girl. And they are all a little have reddish hair. So a lot of passion like their father. And and we have a dog. His name is Teddy. So him and Josh are the only guys in our home. So that's our house.
That's awesome.
I am Melissa, and this is Jake Smith. And we shared a little bit a couple weeks ago, and we have 7 kiddos. Five of those are our biological kids. And then we have been able to add our niece and nephew to our family, and we're just continuing to pray that the Lord will make that official sooner rather than any more later. So our oldest is 14. So we have a 14-year-old boy, 13-year-old boy. Ooh, our other boy just turned 13 last week. So we actually have 14, 13, 13 boys. And then we have an 11-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old girl and an 8-year-old boy and a 4-year-old boy.
Jeez.
So, and we have a dog as well. And
it's amazing you remember all those ages.
So if anyone's in the market for cats for Christmas, we're your people. We'll give you a good free deal.
All right. I'm Vicky Melton. This is my husband, Wes. We have 2 boys. Our oldest, Ben, is 23. He's actually attending Drury. He's a wrestler there. He's their heavyweight. He'll graduate in May. He'll have a degree in secondary ed. So he's hoping to coach and teach back at Nixa, which is where he graduated from. And then we have another senior, Matthew, who's a senior at Nixa High School. He just finished up football, and he is currently looking for a job. So he's going to be spending some of his free time making a little money now. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so you mentioned that your oldest son goes to Drury, and your Matt goes to Nixa.
Yes.
And then you guys are all homeschooled. In classical conversations, right? That's amazing. Well, I want to get started with the questions this evening. You didn't think I was going to do that again. I want to get started with the questions this evening. This is a big first question because I hear this a lot, and then specifically, I don't have any kids myself just quite yet. I actually, if you count like the 100 or so kids back there, that is quite a bit of kids. I hear this question asked a lot about the idea of leading your family. And I want to ask, like, specifically mothers and fathers, maybe separately in this moment, what does a father's role look like in leading your family? And what does a mother's role traditionally look like in leading your family? And so what has been your experience in your own family? Wes, you got the mic. You took it from Vicky. It was such authority. You're like, Vicky, I got this one, please.
What was the question?
Oh my. There's not much difference from back there to up here then, yeah.
One of the things is just in any part of things, if you're leading, then you don't push. You actually just go ahead. And the number one thing is your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
My boys have seen for at least the last 18 years that for Vicky and I, that every morning, nearly every morning, they've seen us spend time with the Lord. Vicky in the living room and me in the back, up early. They've seen me up at 2, 3, 4, whatever a time there. So that's the first thing. And the other thing, just as a husband and a father, you know what great leaders do? They don't do it all. They delegate.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just give you a little thing. The husband may be the head of the wife, but wife is the head of the house. And Vicky is anointed, and she does most of the leadership within the house. And Psalms 128 talks about the man who fears the Lord, that his wife's like a fruitful vine within the house, and his sons are like olive shoots around the table. And it's one of the things is Vicky has an anointing with the kids and handles nearly all the day-to-day operations of the house. And I don't really ever, unless I would have a really... Unless it inconveniences me a lot, I let her go and do her thing.
Yeah.
That was a joke for the most part.
That was a joke. Yeah, Vicky, go ahead.
I think for me, it's consistency. I think in the way that I lead, I think there's a consistency, not only just in the practical things that we do, like my kids know that Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, mom's fixing dinner. And if they're not going to be there, I need to know. Or if I'm not fixing, I let them know. But I think it's also just in the other things, like in my response when things don't go well, in my response when they make a mistake, in the emotions of things, they know that there's a consistency in how I respond to things. And I think in that, it brings a sense of safety and a sense of security and a sense of trust, and that they're comfortable in just coming to us no matter what. There's not too many things that kind of send me over the edge, but disrespect and dishonor are two of them.
Yeah.
But I'm consistent in my response with that as well. And so I think they know in that consistency what to expect. So
that's good.
Yeah, you know, I think for some of you who heard us a couple weeks ago, one thing that the Lord did is one year he took me from being a dude and turned me into a man. And one of the things that he really taught me that year was this idea of being a provisionary, you know, of looking ahead for my family and trying to cast some vision and then have a plan. And obviously I'm seeking the Lord for that. I'm asking him for insight and strategy with life, and I'm going to him in that sweet time with him. But then from there, it's about casting some vision and really getting to take your family on a journey with you too. And so I think, you know, one thing practically that it looks like in our family is really being a leader by example, and also trying to really call out some of the good, some of the gold that I see in our kids. And I may not be there as much as Melissa is, and she's really there day to day and having lots of conversations and lots of teaching moments. But when I do come home, I'm not just zoning out. I'm not clicking on a TV. I'm really trying to, at that time, be intentional to ask, what's going on? Like, how's your heart? What did you learn today? you know, what's just as we talk to him, whether it's when you're tucking them in at night or even just around the dinner table, I try to make that time well spent and to be intentional with it. So that's one thing for me, I would think.
I think, too, practically, Jake and I try to connect on the phone on his way home so I can give him, because we have a lot of people in our home. We have a lot of emotions. We have a lot of stuff every day. And so he's really good about calling on the way home. And I can kind of give him an update and bring him up to speed with where we are and what has gone on that day. And if there's any major issues that I need him to kind of back me up on or address, we've had a chance to talk about it so that he's ready to jump in when he gets there. And so I think practically that's something that we've done. And then something that I started a couple of years ago, and it was always my heart, was to share the word with our kids. But to be completely honest, as a homeschool mom, I was like, but math, I mean, if you ever get sent out in the world, like somebody can tell if you have no idea how to do math or you can't read. And so to be honest, oftentimes like spending time with the Lord as a family would kind of get pushed aside because I was like, but we've got to do this stuff. We have to get to this stuff. And so a couple years ago, I just really began asking the Lord how to change that. And so practically in our family, after breakfast, our kids all have certain things they have to get done by about 8:30. And then we gather in the living room as a family, the kids and I, and we sit in a circle and everybody has an NIV Bible and we open it up to, a lot of times we spend a lot of time in Proverbs or Psalms, and we break it up depending on how many kids and our strong readers get to read more verses, and our little guy who's still learning to read, I will say it and he repeats after me. So everybody's connected and involved. And then, so we read the word together, and then I just play worship music and they spend time journaling. They copy their favorite verse that really stuck out to them, and we talk about it. We talk about why that really stuck out to them, what the Lord is saying in that, and so they practice writing it down. And then they just spend time journaling, and I spend time journaling so that I am modeling to them how to spend time with Jesus, how to take his word and how to open it and to read it. So just practically, that's something, and we've been doing it for a couple of years, and I have to say, it has really made a huge difference. And I know for those of you that don't homeschool, you're like, that's great, but when can we find time to do that? And I hear that, like I absolutely hear that question, and that's a good question. But I would say the fruit of it has been tremendous. And so, you know, maybe it looks like before school, trying to make some time, carve out some time to do that. Or maybe at night when right after you guys eat or whatever. So,
yeah. So good. I picked up a little tool right there from you that I'm going to start calling my wife on the way home to find out how things are.
Yeah.
Because you know what? When I get home, I walk through the door, I'm like, let's party.
Yeah.
And I can tell sometimes I walk in the door like, we ain't partying tonight.
This is not a party night. This is not a party night.
You know what I mean?
Night. Yeah.
Like, this is a war zone. Yeah. No partying's happening here. It's been a rough day. And, you know, daddy comes home, you know what I'm talking about? Like, hey, guys, you're so awesome. My mom's like, no. No, you're not so awesome.
Yeah.
And,
we haven't just been worshiping all day.
Right? Because, you know, that's what I do here at church. I worship all day long. That's a joke. You know, that's such a great little tool. I'm going to do that because so many times I do come home and I'm like thinking one thing and then I find out another thing's been going on and we're not going to be able to quite party tonight, you know? And so that's really good. I was just going to say that as we go through this, like there isn't anybody on the stage that has it all together. We did this because we wanted to just maybe offer some tools and just to say like, man, these are some things we're trying and we're doing. And how many like to be inspired? I like to be inspired. Yeah. So when I hear something, you might take one thing from tonight and say, man, I'm going to try that. And that's going to help my family. So that's the heart of this. I'd say back to the question, which is, you know, leadership and roles and all of that. I'd say we've kind of joked from the beginning, like that maybe I'm the head but Christy's the neck. So like, look at my head. Look what the neck is doing. right? And we're together. We do it together, right? We our heart is we lead our family together. There are things that my wife has got that is such strengths that I do not carry. And I recognize those, and I want her to lead us in those things that she's strong in. And there are things that I'm strong in that my wife wants me to lead in, and then I lead in that. But it's a mutual leadership together is how we kind of do our house. And so we were joking before we came up here. We didn't talk about any of the questions together. We were hoping we were going to give the same answers. So
let's see.
Let's see. Jess. I think for us, I think everything that everybody has said on the panel is something that we have in our family. But for us, we want to model that we are the same at home as we are at church. And that's a really big deal in our family. Yay. Thank you for clapping for us. That is amazing. Because you did clap for Wes. You did not clap for us the first time. I got you. No, I'm kidding. I'm just playing. But for me, that's a really big deal because I am home with them and I do discipline and I do school and I am the, did you brush your teeth after the seventh time that I've asked you to, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm pulling out the gold in them, but yet I also am not in the car like, get it together. We are Christians. We're going to church. You better smile. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really is a dialogue throughout the day where I am the same at home as I am at church. And my kids know that. And so, I asked them today, I was like, do you guys want to come in and hear your mom and dad talk about parenting? And they're like, no, we know what you guys do. And I was like, what does that mean? But it's true. You know, Josh and I, we didn't grow up in a pastor's home. And so this is all new to us. We're 14 years, like, as a parent. And so I remember when I was 14 years old, I didn't have it all together. And so I think for us, there are mistakes that we make, but there is still that part where we go back to the Lord and we're like, you have said something for our family. How are we to lead these girls? How are we to lead them at Hope? How are we to lead them in school? And one of the things for us really is that we are fun. It's wild. It's crazy. It's fire. It's awesome. It's loud. It's arguing, but yet we want to be the same. We don't want our kids to sit down there and be like, why is mom and dad just so nice at church? But yet, do you know what I'm saying? And so that's really our heart. I don't know what y'all are laughing at, but it's good.
That kind of leads into, I guess, another question that I've heard talked about. Like, we at Hope do such a great job of, just family and bringing everybody together and ministering to like the individual. How do you guys bring home what you're learning at church, or maybe what you're learning in your own personal devotion times with the Lord, or what the Lord is teaching you? How do you infuse that within your family?
That's a great question.
I need to get this out. Like, I'm kind of upset that Wes got a comfortable chair.
Yeah.
I'm working through that right now.
I got a chair that could hold me.
Oh, that's funny.
What's the question?
Well, Vicky and I talked about this, and it's, I don't know if we, how well we do it. We try to live out, or we do live out, our faith. We're not intentional. We've probably never had a devotion, ever. And it was just nothing that either one of us were ever felt led to do, and that by the time maybe you had thought about it, it just wouldn't have been received. But one thing we have always done is look for opportunities. In a car. One thing is in parenting is we've learned to squeeze everything out of every season of life. We don't want to get stuck in one season. We want to move from season and be aware of what season our kids are in and then squeeze every bit of it in that season. We had something this week, just my youngest, Matt, he tries to yank my chain politically from time to time because he knows what to say that'll be the opposite of what I know to be true. And so sometimes I take the bait, and most of the time I just look at him and just try to figure out if he's just trying to get a rise out of me or if he's really asked the question. But this last week, he just asked something about abortion and was just said that, talked about abortion in, for rape and incest. And, you know, it just led into a conversation just about it and why abortion's wrong and where life begins and what the Lord says about life and inconsistency of arguments, where it was just a good conversation with a dad and 18-year-old about a subject.
That's great.
There would have been a time, probably not too long ago, where I'd have just been just belligerent, this is the way it is, this is the verses, instead of just listening to the son. But like I said, seasons are important to recognize where they are and to actually listen to what they're saying. We've had so many conversations in a car, after games, after wrestling matches, but I've learned the secret of being just content. Let me give you a scripture on this. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And one of the things that Vicki and I've learned, mostly the last 10 years probably, and in our marriage it's helped, is I wait for the season to share the word. I will keep something. I used to, when my kids first wrestled, would talk to them right after the match. Well, that doesn't work. There's things that I have held in my heart for months simply because it's not the right season. And so I'm just ready. Vicki and I are both ready to share with our kids in whatever. Wait for those opportunities to come. Exercise great patience to wait for them. But then when they come, be prepared to share your heart with them. And then when we do that, every conversation we have with our kids is one of value for both of them. It's never who's right. It's always what's right.
Yeah.
It's something we just live by. Yeah. You know, and it just, I'll just share this. I even had something with my youngest who he felt that I did not trust him. And we had a conversation for about 20 minutes where it was an actual conversation where I told him I did trust him, but I just shared some stuff about his friends and then how a lens that I look through things, how I went to jail when I was like a year after his age because I was in the wrong group, wrong friends. I had every opportunity to leave. I didn't do it. And when I see some of his friends, I just see some of who I used to hang around with. And he said something I thought was very mature. He just said, okay, I can see how you do why you do what you do. And it's just totally changed the conversation that we had.
Yeah. Man, that is such valuable information, not just in parenting, but just for an individual in everyday life, like seasons and when to say something and how to say something. That's gold.
I just learned from that.
Yeah.
Because I don't wait for the season. Is anybody with me? I'm like, we're going to deal with this right now. And I'm like, that's so good. See? I grew. That's so good.
I still can grow.
Hey, I just want to share one practical thing that I've kind of grown in and learned, and that's really the value of journaling, of just kind of having a notebook or having a journal. And so I would say one thing that's really helped me to be able to bring home things I'm learning here back home is by jotting down some things. And I used to have like a journal I would keep with me in my Bible and still have one like that. But then recently I've gone to like a little field notes book and I always put my wallet in my back pocket. And so I just started putting this little thing back there too. And it's been so handy because I can jot down ideas. I can jot down things I learned from a message. I can jot down whatever, you know. And then it's kind of nice because it, when I've got it there and I flip back through it, then when the season comes, and that, sometimes I do that. Sometimes it seems like I want to address it right then. Other times I let it kind of marinate for a little bit, and then we come back and maybe talk about it a day or two later. But this helps me because when I've jotted down some of my ideas, you know how it is whenever you leave here and it's like, well, where are we going to go for lunch? And then as soon as you get done with that, well, we've got this party or practice or we've got to get ready for this project coming up this week. And it just seems like our lives begin to be one thing after another. There needs to be time where we can kind of slow down and reflect and be quiet and hear from the Lord. And, you know, for me, this has been just a very practical but fruitful hobby, and a habit, I guess. And what's cool is I've actually seen a lot of our kids have kind of taken up the same habit, too. I mean, Melissa and I both now journal, but it was about last year we went to a Stronger Men's Conference over at JQH, and I'm sitting there on a row, and then a friend of mine who's with me, he just kind of looked over and took a picture. And it was, and I had my head down, and I was kind of writing something down, and there were five boys right beside me, and they all had their journals out, and each one of them were writing down something too. And he sent that picture over, and he was like, hey, good job being a dad, you know? And it was a cool moment, and it was like a thing where I just looked over and thought, man, thank God. Good. I mean, that's such an awesome picture, and that's really what the goal would be, is we want to invest and pour in and train our kids in things that we know are fruitful.
Yeah.
Can I just say really quickly, I don't wait. And so I can grow. I'm acknowledging that right now. I like to deal with stuff. I like to. So I think that is such great wisdom, and I can learn from that. But I will be completely honest. It is hard for me to wait because I'm like, Jake says I catastrophize. He made up a word. I'm a catastrophication person who goes from like, oh my goodness, they did this. Now they're rotting in jail and we're going to visit them every other weekend. And that's true. Like I'm like, but babe, if we keep going down this path, we are going to be in jail. Yes. And everybody's going to die, you know? And he's like, I don't think it's quite that bad. I was like, no, it is. It's that bad.
It is.
I can learn from that because I'm like, let's deal with it. Come on. Like, come on. We will sit in our room and we'll talk through it and we'll hash it out and we'll pray and we'll keep talking. And so thank you. That's great. I'm going to try. But it's hard. I can grow.
I was just going to say real quick, and then you can comment on this, but just back to the original question, of just leading our family spiritually, how do we pour into them? And I think that it is just a consistent planting, whatever that looks like. I know some people think because of who we are and what we do that we all just gather around the piano and go to heaven like daily. And like sometimes it feels like we gather around and go somewhere else, but. There's the rare moment that feels like we go to heaven, but they do happen, and it's great. But I would say that often, you know, we've come into a new consistency of what we call morning time. And so Christy almost always leads that because I leave early, and she gathers the kids up. And so she just consistently pours into them each morning and just spends time in the Word. They journal. They go through it. They pray together. They pray for each other. So I had the opportunity, it was like a week ago, or oftentimes on Fridays, I'll be able to do that with them, and sometimes Saturday. But she went off to do something, and so I gathered the kids up, and we just had this amazing time, which honestly, many times it's not amazing, right? You know what I'm talking about. So we were having this amazing time, and I mean, these kids started, I said, you know, I shared this, and it was like they were quiet and listening to me, like I had the words from heaven. They were receiving these words, and I'm like, this is the best. And I said, let's pray for each other, you know? And so they each got prayed for each other. And I mean, it was like this moment. It wasn't like, bless them, Jesus. It was like 3-4 minute prayers, right? Our little one got in Olivia, our oldest one's lap, and laid her head on her chest and just pray. I mean, it was just this unbelievable thing. And I said, we got done, and I had to go to work. And I said, babe, man, it was like amazing. Like, peace of God, presence of God was so good, so amazing. And she's like, well, great. And I just hopped in the shower and then hit the road. And I get a text about 20 minutes later that said, well, it went all the other way. The second you left the house, I'm like, those kids did not walk out what I told them. You know, like, and it's, it reminded me, like, there's never one moment. It's this consistency of pouring out into your kid and planting and planting and planting. And one day, yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Well, I want to make sure that we get to, we got a lot of questions coming in, but I do want to get to one other thing as well. I want to talk, maybe take a left-hand turn. I want to talk a little bit about technology. You know, today, in today's day and age, it's just all around us. And as parents, I say parents like me, like as a millennial, and as parents and everybody else in the room, I mean, it is just, it can sometimes can be consuming. How do you intentionally use that within your family? What are restrictions? What are boundaries? And how do you use it for good? And what does that look like in your guys' family on a daily, weekly basis? Yeah.
Well, I like technology.
Yeah.
Thinking I'd talk to, I'll just share some things before, if you just look at the word, there's not a lot of specific instruction on parenting, like how to do day-to-day stuff. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Don't aggravate them to wrath. Train up your children in the way they should go, that each child has a path. You put each child, it's not a formula. And so I taught a lesson, about 13 weeks worth of lessons, on this thing that preferences, convictions, and commandment, and the difference in how to live that. Commandments for everyone. Conviction is for you personally, and preferences are just that. It's just a preference you have. And we make mistakes when we get those buckets mixed up. When I think the color of the carpet becomes a law or becomes a conviction, when I get it out of that bucket, I make mistakes. And so what I'm going to share is a conviction for our family here that it's not extended as law. I'm just going to share how That's we good. Do with technology. And just Vicki and I kind of talked about this. I hadn't really thought about it because I really like technology. I wish I had it when I was a kid. The problem is technology is just a tool. It's like money. The real issue with kids or adults, I'll give you a scripture that's Lord's used on me, and just a kind of something to set my a path. And it's in 1 Timothy 5. He talks, a widow who lives for her own pleasure is dead even while she lives. And in that is the problem with me in times of life and with my kids isn't technology, isn't things, it's the living for their own pleasure. That when I do wake up every day and all I do is what I want to do, and there's no really, I'm not thinking outside of how I can serve others and work and all of that, then I become a horrible God and nothing, I just consume and nothing can satisfy. So there's times what technology brings to light is when we see attitudes in our kids that because they're using technology too much, it's just it just reveals just something that they've become their own God. So then we kind of will pull back at that time. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, especially they're 18 and 23, we may have a conversation from time to time with the youngest, never with the oldest there. But for the most part, we let them go on it because I like it. And I mean, the truth is, when our kids enjoy being home and they enjoy being with us there. I spent all my childhood reading by myself, playing games by myself, and I never wanted to be with my parents. And so just back on this, just for the season we're in, our number one goal is to retain that relationship with our kids, to always have a voice into their lives. But that's but that's our conviction on things for our life, just in what we see. So,
yeah, it's great. Anything to add
on that? I think the only other thing that I feel like I've learned from my 18-year-old is They see screen time as screen time. I'm on the screen a lot. I'm emailing. I'm on my computer. I might be doing something on Pinterest. I might be ordering groceries. I might be buying. And I might be watching Dr. Oakley Yukon Vet for several episodes. You know, that's the show that I like to watch for whatever reason. But if I'm watching Dr. Oakley and he's playing a game, he sees it as the same. If I say, you've been on there too long, and he's like, well, you've been watching Dr. Oakley the whole time. So for them, screen time is screen time. In my mind, I think I've always tried to separate out, well, I'm doing work, or I'm ordering things for Christmas or groceries. But they don't see it that way. Screen time is screen time. So I'm really cautious about being on them about their screen time, because I recognize that they see it differently than we do. And there are times that we try to, like, we were playing games the other day, and it's like, do you want to play the game? Do you want to be on your phone? But if you're going to play the game, I need you to put the phone away. Those kinds of things. But anyways, just a different perspective than what I've had for a long time, and he's kind of helped me see that. So
it's good.
Okay, so our oldest is 14, and none of our kiddos have phones at this point. And when they turn 10, oftentimes they do get an iTouch for music and some games and stuff, but they're doing school during the day, and so they don't have their devices, really. We've tried different experiments. In fact, Corbin's science experiment last year was, does music affect you? Can you listen to music, any kind of music, and does that help or hinder your studying? And of course, we had different opinions on that. And so he did a whole experiment to see if they're, what the results were. So we've decided to, we listen to music as we're doing school, but it's kind of a set thing. So we're probably more on the restrictive side with media. And we kind of, I guess I love how Wes put it, but I think honestly the best question to ask is, Lord, what are you calling us to? And I think that is a question we can ask for anything, for media, for anything. What are you calling us to? And to really take the time and to listen to what the Lord is saying. So like in our family, media is not a big presence. Books are huge. It's like a library in our home, but that's because we love, and neither of us grew up that way. So this is something that we have cultivated, because we see the value in it. And so like reading and spending time together is really important. And so that's kind of where we've landed. And as far as TV goes, we really have one primary TV, and it's not on all day. Like it's rarely on. I don't even know how to work it. I really cannot turn, I don't know how to do the thing. So, that's us.
Yeah, I think that's good. My encouragement to people all the time is just to think about, what's your purpose in that? What fruit comes from that? I definitely think it's worth really thinking about whether the good outweighs the bad of letting kids have TVs, have computers, things back in their room. I don't personally think that's a very wise choice, you know, but that's just our preference. But we at least believe in that enough that we bring that up with people. At least in our home, what we do is we do have some devices, and we try to have like a central spot where people plug in their phones or iTouches or whatever. They don't have phones, but I mean their devices, and it's kind of a central location down in the kitchen, you know. And even if it's not from just a protective standpoint, I know this happens where kids are being woken up at 1 o'clock in the morning, getting a text from somebody, or, you know, things that just go on kind of after bedtime. And that's just not good for sleep habits. It's not good for our emotional and mental well-being to always be on call. I mean, I'm on call a lot. My job, it's not fun being on call all the time. And that's kind of what they're doing when they always have their phone with them and it's going off with a text or a video sent to them or whatever. So there are a lot of good benefits, I think, to trying to keep some of the devices down in a central spot to charge them overnight. But when it comes back to it, like we read a good book this past year that we recommend too. It's called The Tech Wise Family. And it's not coming at tech or media as if it's bad. Because I think, like Wes was saying, it's like, you know, technology is not bad. It's actually, it's pretty amazing. And money is not bad. It's, you can use money for lots of great things, but we can't let those things become our master, because when we do, then it becomes an idol. And then next thing you know, that's all we care about. And so we need to be wise with it and to use it for good and not to just let it control us, not to become addicted to it to where we can't even have conversations or can't even hear from God or be quiet for a little bit. And so those are a couple of, I think, things with us.
That's great. I want to get to probably our last final question, but we've had a two or three questions on this. What are some specific ideas or principles when it comes to disciplining your kids? They weren't prepared for this question, so this is all new for them.
Yeah. Well, one thing, kind of piggybacking on what Vicky said earlier too, for us, we really think about the three D's are important, and that would be disrespectfulness, dishonesty, and what was the last? Disrespectful, dishonest, and
disrespect. So
I'm
gonna step on that one right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, disrespect and disrespect. Oh, and dishonesty.
And disobedience.
Disobedience.
Yeah. Disobedience was the third one. Yes. And so
what were those three again?
Disobedience, disrespectfulness, and dishonesty.
Okay.
And so for those are issues that when that happens, we do want to address that in a consistent way, and we usually do it right away. And so for it helps to really bring some categories into mind, because they're going to sometimes maybe say a joke or do something that's not really, that maybe annoys you or something, but it's not really discipline worthy. Every time they make some little, you know, variant from what you would want them to do, it's not always like, we have to discipline them again. But there are some categories where they need to know there is a consistent discipline coming, and there are a lot of different ways, but I think even more than discussing the ways of discipline would just be the emphasis on consistency and kind of knowing to address it right away and to let them know what it was that they've done and to try to help them, help lead them to a place where they get it and they can ask for forgiveness if that's what it requires, or to pray with them. And it looks different for us, like with our 4-year-old, than it does with our 14-year-old. And I mean, we'd love to talk to people individually about those in the future too. But.
Yeah.
I just whip them.
Yeah, just. Next.
Yeah. Next. We have a barn now. I'm kidding. That this is actually recorded, but I'm joking. Obviously, don't call the division of whatever on me.
DHS.
You know, there's so much. I mean, we have like 3 minutes now until we're done. So I guess I would just say this, that the seasons change with your kids and how to discipline them and how to deal with issues. We're always going for the heart. So I'm always wanting to connect on a heart level with my kid, whatever season they are in. And we do a lot of talking. I mean, you can imagine 3 girls. We talk nonstop. I should have gone to school for talking. We talk through. We get to the heart. I used to honestly be pretty like quick to respond to things, and sometimes that wasn't good. We really are intentional about not responding in anger or disciplining in anger. I have done that before, but I'm really intentional about not doing that now. And so if I'm upset, I sit the child down in time out until I can calm down, which I do that pretty often, internally calm down. And but we talk. Because I think sometimes like spanking or whatever, which is certainly necessary at times, can be an easy thing without not getting to the heart of the issue. That's or right. Even you're grounded, or you're doing this, you're doing that. And that's the easy thing for a parent who's tired or distracted. And so we push through, I think, in our discipline with talking through, finding out where they're at. And then there are oftentimes consequences. We use that word consequences rather than punishment. We just say, you know what, because you did this, this is what's going to happen now. And those are different. So I know that's kind of general. I wish I could get that's more great. Specific. But
yeah. Wes, do you have anything
yeah,
to
can
add
I that? Just share one little thing on that? Vicky is very consistent in her personality. I'm not much as much so, or not at all. And the one thing that, and Josh said it, is I would have a tendency, especially younger, to go from 0 to 60 in a split second. And it's when you discipline out of your own inconvenience rather than their behavior. Mm. And that happens to all of us from time to time, or most all of it. It happens to me too a lot. But here's one thing. When you make a mistake, I grew up, and I don't think, I can't remember a time my parents ever apologized to me. And that causes a bridge in a relationship. And so one thing is I've learned, and I've went back to my kids the next day or later that evening, and I would say something like this is, hey, what you did deserved this reaction. I gave this reaction. Will you forgive me for the difference between the two? Because my father always treats me exactly how it, and actually underneath what I deserve, because he's so good. Will you forgive me of it? And what that does is it restores the relationship. It stores the righteousness. But also in there, they see you as someone real instead of someone that just acts like you're perfect and that you never make a mistake. And so that's one of those things we were singing about, how God can turn things around, that when you make a mistake, you can turn it and build your relationship where it's even stronger. There's nothing wrong with saying, I was wrong. And when you say, I was wrong, don't qualify it with, but you just drive me nuts. It is just simply.
I tried that with my wife last week. That didn't work out.
I had another lesson.
Yeah, I'm just.
The most important thing follows the but. And it is when you just say, I was wrong in this, and I will try not to do that again. So.
Yeah.
We've done that too. And we've modeled it so much to where now they turn to, well, mostly me because I'm home, and they'll be like, and then do you have anything to say? And then I'm like, that's so good. That's so good that you just did that. But they feel comfortable enough. We have basically built a culture in our home that I do apologize. Like, guys, whoa, mom went cray, cray right here, okay? And that was unacceptable, and so would you forgive me? Or my oldest will be like, I think I've come to you and apologized when maybe you should have apologized first. And then we'll laugh about it, but it's true. And we've built that culture. We've built that relationship. And so she can be honest with me where we're at, where she's like, Mom, like, this is how I'm feeling. And we respect that in our girls because we're growing them up to be women that can voice, like, you know, how they're feeling and not, like, kind of put that down. So it's mutual. You know, we're in that mutual relationship now where if I do something wrong and I forget to apologize, it's okay for them to say, but I feel like maybe, is there anything you might have done? And I'm like, oh, man, that's true. I'm so sorry. So,
Do you guys have any final quick thoughts before we close out? No? All right. Well, you guys give our panelists a thank you. You should do this again. Yeah, next week. He's already speaking it in. So, well, guys, I hope that, I mean, whether you're a parent or not, I mean, there's a lot of really great truths that was expressed here tonight. It's all about intimacy and connection and then really modeling what it looks like to our kids. And so I hope you just gathered a lot of really good stuff tonight. But let's pray and we'll end out. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your never-ending grace that, man, when we mess up, you are right there with us. When we fail, to teach us and to encourage us along the way. And so, Father, I pray that tonight, that when we go home and through the next couple of weeks, that we just begin dissecting what we've learned tonight and then putting into application. And so, Father, it is to your glory that we say amen. Jesus' name, amen. So, guys, we thank you for tonight.